we take a vacation to a hot resort. Hello, my name is Dustin McClure, and I'm here today with
Matthew Kumar, as always.
And you're listening to Loose Cannons, the show where we go chronologically through the filmography of canon films. And man, we're back in hell.
We are back in hell. I want to set the scene for everyone this episode, right?
Mm-hmm.
You love canon films, right? You love Death Wish. You love Death Wish 2. You get to the video store, right? You see, there's a new canon film out, Hot Resort, starring Bronson. You're like, Bronson? And you pick it up. And you go home with it, you put it in, and you realize it's Bronson Pinochet.
The classic star of Perfect Strangers, a show that I had never seen and had to look on IMDb.
I have very, very vague memories of it.
From what the summary seemed to be, it's a foreign exchange family member of some kind that visits someone and they have, I assume, xenophobic adventures.
I think the idea is, because I feel like I saw it as a very, like, tiny, when I was a really small child, so I have very vague memories of it. And I think the whole deal was he was, like, a character like...
Mark? From Mork and Mindy.
Well, I was going to say, the character in Taxi played by...
Oh, yes, Andy Kaufman.
Andy Kaufman. Like, because I want to say, like, Bronson Pinochet's character's called, like, Yatka or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But that might have been...
I don't know.
Andy Kaufman's name. I mean, these sitcoms are way before our time.
Yeah,
right?
Like, they weren't the Family Matters of our days, which I would come and see at 5 p.m. And as we've already established, you have never seen.
Which one's Family Matters?
That's the one with Urkel.
Oh, the one with Urkel.
The one with the guy from Die Hard that, like, he continues his life after the John McClane adventures.
Yeah, because I was thinking the one that Family Matters was the one with Michael J. Fox.
No, that was All in the Family. Lots of family-related shows.
That wasn't All in the Family.
Man, I don't know.
Which one was the one that would have finished?
Archie Bunker, where he was racist and stuff like that, but still lovable at the end. That was All in the Family.
Yeah, which was the one where at the end of it, we went, sit, boo-boo, sit. Good dog.
Every sitcom ever? I don't know. Thanks for tuning in to the podcast where we ask ourselves questions that we don't have the answers to.
Anyway... yeah, Bronson Pinochet is in this. I mean, there's probably Bronson Pinochet fans out there.
Are there?
No. No, yeah.
I mean, Bronson Pinochet himself? No, probably not. He's like drinking from a bottle. He smashes the mirror. I got no fans. I'm sure at the time he was on like the cover of Tiger Beat or some shit like that. I got him really confused with Keith Gordon, the star of Christine, who would go on to be a director. Then when he popped up on screen in Hot Resort, I was like, wait, is that Keith Gordon? I'm a Keith Gordon fan. Da-da-da. Nah, it's not him. Boo.
Yeah, I feel like Bronson Pinochet should be like, you know, a mine of us of funny riffing, but he's just not.
I don't know who he is.
Neither do
he
I.
He might as well just be a cutout with a big question mark on it. Like, we can't make any references to him. What are we going to do, make fun of his last name? We'd be just as bad as the Perfect Strangers themselves.
It's true, it's true.
Someone out there is listening being like, I got all this good Perfect Stranger material.
That's Bronson Pinochet himself.
Searching his name. We're sure that the host of this podcast, at Dork Shelf, is going to, like, tag Bronson Pinochet in the episode.
Yeah.
Oh, boy, some new material about
me. Well, also, Bronson Pinochet has his,
harem of people that do work for him.
Well, I was more thinking just Google alerts, do you know what I mean?
He, like, do you have a Google alert on your name?
I don't have a Google alert on my name.
No, me neither.
Like, he just comes up Pinochet and he's like, oh, it's that guy who committed a bunch of massacres.
I did. I searched his name and that's what came up. And I was like, is that him?
No, he did worse things, like starring Hot T-Shirts. Not Hot T-Shirts, sorry, Hot Resort.
Oh, because... my God, our brain is just melting, all these fucking sex comedies, like PTSD.
But the thing is, this is clearly in some sort of Golden Globus, like, franchise for them, right? Because there was Hot T-Shirts.
Yeah.
This is Hot Resort.
No, well, the franchise that this is part of are those goddamn Lemon Popsicle films.
Is it?
It's not part of that franchise, but it's the same template, to the point that the director of a bunch of Lemon Popsicles and Last American Version, Boaz Davidson, is one of the writers on this as well.
Okay.
So, like, it's that same shtick where it's, like, three or four dumb dudes meet a bunch of women, are sexually aggressive towards them, and then the women are like, ew, gross! Finally, they succumb, and everybody lives happily ever after.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, really, to try and do as we did last week, where I sum up super fast, four guys go to, like, St. Nevis and Kitts, which is, like, some islands in the...
Caribbean.
The Caribbean. And they are working at a resort.
Caribbean? I've been saying Caribbean all this time. No wonder my friends made fun of me when I went to go Pirates of the...
Is there an actual way to say that? Because people say one or the other, right?
I don't know. It's probably one of those things where people are like, I don't fucking care. And there's one right one, but, like,
no one cares? Yeah. Caribbean just, like, it's a little faster. Mm-hmm. A lot more exciting to see.
Than Caribbean.
So I stick with it. Caribbean.
Caribbean. Yeah. All right. Are we going? To a hot resort?
So they're working at this resort. Mm-hmm. And as soon as they get there, they're like, they're all super horny, want to have sex. But then it turns out that there's an evil rowing team there.
That's right.
Who are filming a rowing commercial that also involves soup, but also trying to win a rowing competition.
It's all very vague.
And then for some reason, all of the main cast, like the four guys, so I thought there was three, but you summed up for me. There's actually
four.
Four, yeah, and they are.
The big guy, the nerdy guy, the normal guy, and Bronson Pinochet.
Yes, so the four guys, they all quit or something, and then, sorry.
In the kitchen, and then they're on the rowing team.
And then they're on the rowing team again or something.
Listen, are there breasts in this movie?
Barely.
Yeah, there's like 40 minutes in, boom, they pop up. There's a scene where an old man dies, supposedly, and he is not brought back to life with a pair of breasts put in his face. This movie just blowing every opportunity.
Yeah, this is a movie like, we've talked about it so many times in this podcast.
Oh my god, yeah.
So many times, it's like, why not just watch pornography? But yeah. this is a movie that you watch and you're like, there's almost no sex in it, or almost no lascivious images of women. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, you think hot resorts and be a lot of women in bikinis walking past this camera.
I mean, and it's not like whoever rented this, like, fooled their parents. The cover, which is four guys ogling a woman's backside. Like, no one's gonna go, oh, well, this is the drama. Oh, yeah, but I got some breasts in it. Like, you know what you're renting. Just go through those beaded curtains and get that pornography.
The only way I can imagine this movie's supposed to work is, because there's nothing sexy in it, is that it's supposed to be really funny.
But like, it's not. You know, while we make that joke, why don't you just go watch pornography? Like, that's all that, like, pay TV is. It's filled with, like, breasts and full frontal female nudity. And, like, supposedly the producers are always pushing people to put that in. And it's like, why? I don't understand. Is there just something more valuable that they believe of something that's dramatic with nudity in it? Because it doesn't have that, like, oh, well, you just have it. Like, it pops out in a context that you don't expect. Like, why does Game of Thrones have that much nudity in it? There's no narrative reason for it to be, other than they think, oh, there's breasts in that, I will continue to watch it.
I mean, I don't watch, like, Game of Thrones.
Oh, but like, any, like, pay TV, like, any action show on Cinemax.
That kind of aspect always kind of puts me off of it, which is like, I don't have to, what?
Give me some erect dicks as well. You know, make it like a two-way street.
Yeah, exactly. Like, the guys in Game of Thrones, before they fight, they have to
get whack it off,
get themselves off good and hard.
I was watching the new Netflix show Alter Carbon, and second episode, James Purefoy just comes out dong flopping all over the place.
Just normal.
Yeah. Well, it's not like like a monster or anything like that. Is it like a normal dong flop, or is it like a deadly spawn / alien?
Yeah, is it wobbling about like?
And it's like
an ivory snake.
Is James Purefoy? No, he's not. He's English, right?
English, I think.
Oh, okay. I was like,
what
is
was
he Scottish?
He was in
Solomon Kane.
Solomon Kane.
And that was a movie that, did you see it when we went to the theater?
I did not see it.
That was one I remember sitting there and watching and going, why is he like the wimpiest guy ever? He's like this badass Conan Robert E. Howard hero, and he's constantly being knocked out or being like, oh no. It's like, why do you think we want to see these movies?
Does his dick come out in Solomon Kane?
No, it doesn't.
Are there boobs in Solomon Kane?
I will say yes, probably.
So there you go. That's why you want to see them. Or at least, my only assumption is that those producers think that.
I know. Just, we've talked about this before, and that, like, most producers are dumb, right? Yeah. And they need to quantify things. Like, why would someone come and see this? And boobs is the cheapest special effect, according to Jim Wynorski, director of Chopping Mall. So why not put them
he
in there?
He considers them a special effect.
I guess so. Maybe he's thinking, like, I don't know, artificial breasts of some kind? Like, the monster breasts that have faces?
Yes.
They fight James Purefoy's dick and shit? Hot resort.
Yeah, hot resort. Nothing that exciting happens in hot resort.
No.
It's just bad.
Yeah, it's bad. Like, the dummies that are our heroes, supposed to be these, like, cool underdogs, are super lame. I hate them. They're very sexually aggressive in that way that's, like, problematic.
I mean, like, the tone is separate at the beginning when, like, the plane is landing.
Yeah.
And it's like, if the gentleman with the small monkey on board.
What was that slang? I wrote that in my notes. I don't know what that is. Is that, like, a slang for, like, a big hairy dick? Or?
No, I think it was just a joke about the idea that someone came on with a monkey.
Like, that's the joke.
And that's the joke. And then my favorite part right at the beginning is, as they're at the customs, the guy is like, do you have a Visa? And the guy's like, a Visa? I don't even have a MasterCard.
And then he walks through.
And the guy goes, okay, on you go. You're like, you can't go to...
That's pre-9/11.
Yeah, that's pre-9/11 for you. And the other guy's suitcase is just full of condoms, some of which are already opened.
Listen, haven't you ever practiced with a few boxes of condoms just to see if you can put them on and then recycle them, assuming you can use them later?
It's true. Like, you want to make sure it fits before, like, well, this one fits. I'll try the next one. This one also fits.
Wait, is it like a Goldilocks and the Three Bears type situation where you go to the house and there's condoms laid out and you're like, this one's just right? I don't know if I would use those open condoms, Matthew. I think we need to talk.
First of all, that's funny to imagine that you put a condom and you're like, this condom's too cold.
This condom's too hot.
Oh, this condom's burning my dick. And then these three bears come back and they're like,
oh, so it's still bears.
Yeah, big hairy gay men.
Okay, yeah.
Come back, and then they're like,
listen, this sounds like money.
And
we need to make a porno.
And you see you lying there with a badly burned dick.
No, wait, but you put the right one on by the end. Because, like, that's what Goldilocks does, is she eats the porridge, and then finds the right bed, and then she falls asleep, and the bears show up and they eat her. But in this one, they eat whoever out.
I guess.
Listen, the porno version of Goldilocks and the Three Bears, which I am 100% already exists, and it's probably not condoms, it's probably like vaginas or something like that that the main character's trying to stick himself
into. It's probably
into.
Still soup or something.
No, it has to be something pornographic.
Sorry.
Listen, they're the Ninja Turtles, and they arrive home.
Yes, the Ninja Turtles arrive home, and somebody's been having sex with their individual pizzas.
Oh man, they're pizzas.
Yeah, that's what turtles eat.
They fuck the pizzas, like...
Don't they?
I've
misunderstood the Ninja Turtles all these years. I thought they're obsessed with pizzas because they love to fuck them.
Every time someone says, like, I love this thing, you're like, that sounds like it's difficult to fuck. This is the dirtiest episode we've had in a while. Because we haven't had a sex comedy in so long. And we use the term comedy again loosely.
Yeah, I mean...
I was very excited in the credits where it said special guest appearance by Frank Gorshin, the Riddler from TV's Batman.
Yeah, he just plays an old man, right, who tells the fat guy to just, like, aggressively, sexually come on to a woman, and then he does, and it's not funny.
Yeah, it makes me wonder that, again, there's probably a producer going, listen, we need a name member in the cast. The kids love Frank Gorshin.
Yeah, Frank Gorshin looks so old in this movie.
Yeah.
And I thought to myself, whoa, was Frank Gorshin, like, way older than...
Adam West?
Adam West? But no, he wasn't. Frank Gorshin was, like, 4 years younger than Adam
West.
Listen,
Adam West just took care of himself.
I guess. Yeah. Like, Adam West didn't end up... Well, has Adam West been in a canon film that we've watched by this point?
I don't remember, but I'm sure he will at some point. Even though that the reason Adam West never acted in many movies is because that performance you see in Batman is not him putting on a show. That's how he acts all the time.
Yeah, and he's good at it. Why wouldn't you enjoy that?
Because people that were casting him in movies didn't want the association of Batman to come along with him. That would have been amazing if, like, Adam West just made a career of being Batman in different movies. So it could be just, like, whatever picture that he's in, like, James Bond, and Adam West is in it as Batman.
I mean, no, we get that right with all the crossovers. Those crossovers have to be coming.
What,
right?
The Batman, like, the hologram of Adam West?
No, I meant,
can you imagine that, like, hey, come to a comic convention and there's a hologram of Adam West that's going to do signatures for you. And he's still like, no bright lights.
Yeah, because then that sort of disappeared because I'm a hologram. I more mean, like, we've just reached this point where everything's a franchise, right? Yeah. Like, we can't be reaching that point where, like, the big, because everything's owned by the same companies, they're just like, fuck it. James Bond's giving me this movie with Batman. Sure.
Yeah, why not? Will, like, people come because they're stupid and they'll give us money? Yes, okay. Just put them together.
Like, although, because eventually, like, there's going to be, like, I mean, I think, is it not like Infinity War has going to have, like, 50 superheroes in it or something? Like, they're going to reach this point where they just, like, have 200 superheroes in the movie and they're like, they're like, we've used them all. We've used all...
Well, at a certain point, the novelty of having these characters come together will probably fade away a little bit. Because when Marvel was doing it, it's like, we have never seen this happen, right? That there'd be this kind of crossover between all these movies beyond TV shows where Chuck Norris meets Sammo Hung from Martial Law. Or, like,
I don't know. They did do that.
They did do that. That was like, whew, man, blew my mind if I had been able to watch it at the time or had any idea who they were. So maybe they'll just continue doing it, or people just want more money so they can't. I don't know. I mean, comic books do it all the time and it still makes money. That's why Spider-Man and Deadpool are in fucking everything.
People have come to Canon Film Podcast, probably hear us talk about Chuck Norris.
Yes.
So I just want to mention that recently, just randomly on Tumblr or something, I saw a picture of Chuck Norris in Enter the Dragon or whatever.
Return of the Dragon.
And he doesn't have the beard, right? He's wearing like cool like aviator shades and has like hair and stuff.
Chuck Norris is not bald. So. You know what I mean?
Not like his terrible sort of like...
He had shaved his head to be in the Lex Luthor role he was hoping to be cast in.
You know, like, I don't mean like that terrible haircut.
Yeah, I know, the mullet.
And I was like, huh, Chuck Norris looks pretty cool, or looked pretty cool at one point in his life.
Yeah.
So I felt like our audience would want to hear that at one point in his life, Chuck Norris actually looked cool.
I should point out, we haven't watched that many Chuck Norris films for the Canon Podcast. A lot of them we've ragged on it, but I like him in his prime. Like, Code of Silence, the one where he teams up with a robot, tons of fun. Invasion USA, we already did an episode on it, also lots of fun.
His version of Goldilocks, where he...
turns into a bear?
No, he just sticks his penis in a variety of different soufflés.
Oh, wow. Why soufflés? And he spun it off as an American Pie film with Chuck Norris.
Well, because in every single, like, Goldilocks film, you gotta mix up, right? You can't just have them always putting their penis in porridge. Too alliterative.
Would you put your penis in porridge? Like, that seems... Any kind of food seems very dangerous. Like, unless you... And, like, you don't even eat it a little bit before or anything like that. You just stick it right in there. Suicide bomber.
Well, how are you going to know how warm it is?
I mean, that's true. All my appendages have lost all feeling except my dick, which is what I lead from. So, other than that, in Hot Resort, there's a lot of sexual aggression from the men, like we mentioned. There's also a lot of sexual aggression from women and played for, like, laughs. Like, oh, could you believe that a woman would want to have sex with this guy? Including a maid that rapes one of them.
Yeah, she just, like, takes him in her room and just throws him in the bed, right? In fact, that was... Bronson Pinchot also gets, like, trapped by a woman in the room who, like, takes him to the shower, both wearing their clothes. It's, like, one of those universes where everyone wants to have sex all the time, apart from certain characters who don't. Like, there's an old lady in the film. I'm not entirely sure why, but at the
end... Does she rap?
Like, she does not rap. What happens is her husband buys her a gown that has a target on her back right at the end of the movie, and it kills her with a machine gun.
That's funny.
Yeah, maybe.
I guess, maybe. But it's, you know what? I want to get on my soapbox here and say that Hot Resort are probably the most, like, toxic films that people can watch, because all the stuff played for laughs is then absorbed by the viewer and they think, oh, well, this is okay. Like, this is how it goes, right? When really it's... message is terrible. Yeah, and, like, everybody's acting like an asshole.
These films always, like, there's one of the... They always have the character who's like, oh, no, that girl's just a prick tease.
She's, you know, put her on a pedestal and we'll treat her with respect. But all these other people, they're just whores.
Yeah. The other thing in this film is we didn't really talk about is, like, the antagonists, or the supposed antagonists, who just stand around and talk.
Damn preppies and their rowing team.
You know that preppy voice? Can you do that preppy voice that they have?
No, I can't. Come on, you try.
I don't know. What's a sentence a preppy guy would say?
I know. It's like, oh, like, don't touch my polo or something like that.
Yeah, don't touch my polo. Like,
Matthew, where'd you go? Somebody else did a voice. they don't really do much in the movie,
but
so you don't
that
hate
accent,
them.
Do people have that accent?
Yeah,
not the one
I think
I just
they do.
Which is terrible.
Yeah, I think,
like,
it's like
are you
a
from to sound like that.
Is it like a New England kind
yeah,
of thing?
Yeah, maybe New England or something.
Yeah, it's like a Valley Girl, right? It's just a variation of that. It's the
it's
kind
just
of
such
like
a specific thing from these type of films.
It's like, let me get my butler or something,
yeah,
like that.
Wearing cravats.
Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah. You're a jerk. I can't see anybody dressed that way looking at themselves in the mirror and going, man, I'm a cool guy. Because now you're a piece of shit.
Yeah.
Just like these preppers. You don't do anything, even though at one point one of the guys goes, oh, I guess we're not going to watch my monkey fucking video or something like that.
The girl that the main guy fancies, he's away trying to have sex with someone else at the time, but he's also sort of not, because she wants to have sex with him, but he's saving himself, I guess, or whatever. And then that guy comes over and he's like, oh, I guess we're going to watch my monkey fucking video. Which is like, first of all, who has a video of monkeys fucking? Other than, I guess...
Why don't you get some pornography?
I guess a monkey fuckologist? Maybe he's a monkey fuckologist.
Or you have a monkey fucking fetish.
I guess.
Yeah, that's... I mean, No, you would if that was your thing, Matthew.
Yeah, I sure... Yeah.
Listen, I only like it in real life. I don't want no videos that cheapens it.
Yeah, that cheapens it. You want to see... You have to go to those monkey fucking...
conventions. So I think probably one of the only other things that made me laugh in the movie is a very long sequence where they catch, like, a guy having sex with a woman in a car and his disc slips so he can't move.
Yeah, and there's a whole sequence where they cut the car open. And like, I watching this, I was like, they had to get a car. They had to get a system that would cut a car up.
Yeah.
All for this joke, right? Yeah. Which is supposed to be funny, of a guy having to be lifted out because he slipped disco fucking someone in a car.
Yep.
And you said you laughed at it, but I just marveled at it.
Why I laughed at it because it made me think of The Simpsons. Oh. And it made me hope that the people would be like, boo.
Oh, I thought you were laughing at me and my automobile.
Oh, no, not that. No, yeah, boo where he's stuck in the tunnel.
He's stuck in the tube, yeah.
But I feel bad for this actor. I wonder if he thought this was going to be his big break. I mean, everybody thinks that.
Do you even see his face? You just see his back, I think.
He could be anybody. Tom Cruise, Lou Ferrigno.
Also, something happens. So, something happens right at the end of the film, which is clearly supposed to be a joke and just to laugh at these characters. But I thought, oh, that's nice. Which is, it turns out that the hard-ass guy who's really been yelling at the main characters, is actually gay, and they make a bunch of jokes about him coming up the closet.
Yes.
With the other character.
Which I was like, they ripped him off from Airplane. Looked on IMDb. Hey, that is the guy from Airplane.
And then the guy who's clearly coded as gay. But they're like holding hands and they're having a nice conversation with each other. And I thought, that's nice.
That's right.
Rather than thinking to myself, haha, they're gay, I guess.
That's what the filmmakers wanted you to think.
That's what they were wanting me to think. But it's just weird how, like, things have changed so much that I can't even understand how that would be seen as funny.
There's a joke at the beginning of the movie where that guy's like giving them a speech, and one of the characters goes, hey, didn't I see you in a movie with Faye Ray? And I'm like, ooh, racist.
Yeah, when that happened, I was like, that's really, really racist. You couldn't do that now.
Yeah. And it's not like that guy's like, oh, now we're friends and you taught me not to be racist. Nah, he just goes on with his life and it's fine.
This movie just doesn't work on any level.
Nope, it sucks. It's awful.
It's real bad.
It doesn't even lead to any good riffs. Because yeah. It's just like there.
It's just there, you know?
I had all this Riddler material, but this movie just sucked it out of me.
Yes, just...
I wonder if Frank Gorshin's still around. He can't be, right? Nope, he died in 2005.
What? He was outlived by...
Adam West.
Adam West himself. Couldn't solve that riddle. Ba-boom, ching.
The man died, Matthew, too soon.
Like, ages ago.
When is too soon when someone dies to make jokes about them?
Depends how...
They die?
Depends how liked they are, I think. That's
really?
What, don't you think?
Oh, I don't know. So, like, let's say you died tomorrow. Like, you ate, a Japanese candy and there was a toy inside, but you didn't know and you choked.
Obviously, what happens is I burned my dick so badly on some fresh pottage that I died, right?
Okay. Let's see, I come in and I find you. I'm like, oh my god! How angry would you be from the afterlife if I revealed how you died?
Would you want
me to make it look like something else happened? Why are you putting your hands like this as if it's two dicks, like, you want to cross swords?
No
one can see Matthew putting his hands in an X.
I was trying to, with my hands, imply that there was a matrix of things.
Holy shit, I'm in the matrix! If you burn your dick in the matrix, you burn your dick for real.
Yeah, Morpheus is sitting there. You come, Morpheus is a bear. You come and you walk into the house, and there's two bowls of porridge. One's red porridge and one's blue porridge. He's like, listen, Neil, if you want to just put your dick in the blue porridge, which is cold, you'll go back to your normal life. But if you very, very badly burn your dick in this porridge, you will enter a whole new world of information. Do you know what I mean?
And I was like, I've seen Fight Club. I know which one to take. Let me stick my dick in that.
So, yeah.
I find your body.
You find my body. What I was saying is, like, the idea of when it's too soon to talk about someone, right? If someone dies in a really funny way,
yeah.
I guess it's immediately funny. Do you know what I mean? You can't not find it funny. Like, who's someone who'd be too soon to find funny? Not me, right? Because obviously it will always be too soon because people, when I die, it'll be like, you know, people will be like...
Throwing petals? That's what you were miming with your hands again.
Yeah, I don't know why. I was just thinking that would happen.
There's like a parade and I'm like throwing petals and rice and then we put you on a funeral pyre and burn you and I'm like, I assume that's what they do in Scotland.
Yeah.
Does somebody want to tell Matthew's parents?
And the sad music from Star Wars will play.
No, it's going to be like some dude on bagpipes. Mike Myers comes out and gives you a eulogy.
Careless Whisper will play, of course.
What's that? I don't even know what that is.
You know,
on the bagpipe?
You know, Careless Whisper. Well, Careless Whisper is that sexy sax man song, you know? You know, by
Kenny G?
But no, fucking George Michael.
Oh, I don't know what George Michael played.
He was in Wham.
All I know is...
He didn't play the fucking saxophone. Well, he might have played the saxophone.
Then why'd you say by George Michael?
Because he sings it, you know?
Oh, so he's
like... He sings the singing parts. So he doesn't do the sexy saxophone.
What's the song called again?
Careless Whisper.
So he's like, Careless Whisper, Careless Whisper.
No, he's like, I'm never gonna dance again. Guilty feet or something or something.
Guilty fetus.
yes. Probably
about... These episodes have been really me ragging on the way Matt stuff. Ragging on how Matthew says stuff. I mentioned it recently to my partner, and she was like, does he make fun of you? And I was like, no, he wouldn't dare.
The other sexy sax man is that guy who did
in
the
Lost
song,
Boys?
In Lost Boys,
yeah.
Right?
Is it, which one is? No, that's...
No, it's... what's the Lost Boys? It's really good. Still Believe.
I don't know what that song is.
You know, I'm not going to do it because you're going to start mocking me for my singing, but like...
Still Believe.
That's actually what it is like. Yeah, because it ends... Anyway, that Still Believe, by the way, don't stop the podcast over and anything, but if you want to immediately start hitting a lot of 80s bangers, just go on YouTube, listen to Still Believe. Listen to Still Believe like 10 more times and then just look at your autoplays. It'll be pretty good.
Man, I wish I could play the saxophone. Is there anything cooler than a guy coming in a party and being like, man! And all you can play is like that Endless Whisper or whatever
Careless
song.
Careless Whisper, yeah. Well, it's interesting, right? Because there's a hierarchy of instruments for parties, right? If you're at a party, right, and a guy brings an acoustic guitar.
You boo!
Yeah, it's like, boo! You know?
And if you're playing the piano, that's like the ultimate instrument.
Yeah,
that can be nice.
Like a real, like a piano, like you'd be like, oh, this guy's playing. But if a guy came with this Casio keyboard, he'd be like, boo, fuck off, no. But yeah, if a guy just like burst through and started playing Careless Whisper, man, the party would fucking kick off.
You think so?
Yeah, because you can't burst through the door like the Kool-Aid Man with a piano.
Yeah, but if you burst through the door with a saxophone, and then you're like, hey, anybody here love Real Big Fish? I gotta stop you here again, because you just mind playing a trumpet instead of a saxophone.
Isn't there a trumpet on that song?
Oh,
I guarantee that Real Big Fish had some trumpets as well.
Wait, all right, what are our top five ska bands of all time?
I'll tell you right now, I've never had to knock on wood, and I don't know if I would, but I might if it turned out the Real Big Fish didn't have any trumpeters.
Everything I know about Real Big Fish is from basketball.
Yeah.
Because they're in basketball.
Which is a great fucking film.
Yeah, yes it is. Very
probably
funny.
Probably problematic now, but then those guys are always problematic.
Yeah.
So
listen, they're libertarian. Everybody can be insulted. Yeah, so no top five ska bands? I mean, there's Mighty Mighty Boston, the ska band?
Definitely.
Yeah.
I don't think... Rock from the Crypt aren't, but I'm going to put them on the list anyway.
Yeah. I mean, once you have one, you have them all, right? Because
yeah.
They basically all play the same song. It's like polka. If you're a big ska listener, send us your recommendations at loosecannonspodcast@gmail.com. We will probably not listen to them. I wonder why ska...
It's all right. The only one ska fan I know doesn't listen to the podcast, who I won't name, because if he did listen to the podcast, he'd be really angry that we said he was a ska fan.
I wonder why ska is something that's so easy for me to make jokes about. Like, I just bring it up and it makes me laugh. It's because it's so dated in one particular time.
Yeah, I think so.
Like, no one plays ska anymore, do they?
Well, I mean, like, the thing is, what we're joking about, right, is that era of, like, 2000s, I guess, like, ska music.
Mm.
Whereas, like, when you think of, like, the real stuff, like, two-tone and everything from, like, the 80s, you would never mock that, because it's actually all really good, right? It's just not that parody of, like, a bunch of guys in suspenders.
Yeah, and little beanies.
And little beanies playing...
The only ska song we know.
Yeah.
And then doing, what is it, like the dance in place? What is that called?
Skanking?
Yeah, skanking.
Yeah, and skanking in place.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I would like to point out we received no fan art of Matthew turning into a bulldog. I'm very disappointed.
Yeah,
so, this Cannon podcast.
Inu.
Nope, bulldog. That's
Shiba
all
Inu.
I want.
Okay.
If I get Shiba Inu, I'll be like, I still didn't get any. So, don't send me that. All right, so let's make it into the canon? No.
No.
Terrible.
It's too bad.
Yeah. Ugh. All right, so what's our favorite ska movies now?
Are there basketballs?
Basketballs.
That's number one.
Yep.
And then, I don't know, I assume there's multiple documentaries about
ska?
The Mighty Boss Tones or...
Sad Men.
The Real Big Fish.
Yeah.
Mm. The Cherry Popping Daddies, are they ska? I don't think so.
That's the worst name ever. It's
those
so
are,
bad.
Those were like Swing Revival or something
Yeah,
like
something like that.
And of course, number five, Louis Vega, because of the Mambo number five. So he fits right there.
Finally, we have the answer of who sings Mambo number five, Louis Vega. We were questioning ourselves a few episodes ago. And we couldn't remember how the song goes. I sang it for you. Ba-ba-da-ba-ba-ba-ba. And you were like, I still don't know.
Yeah, I still don't.
All right. So we have no letters still this week. What the hell, guys?
I mean, some of our last episodes are best ever.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So I don't know why we're not getting letters. You think we will talk about anything? We have proven that on this very podcast. We were so desperate to not talk about anything other than this fucking shitty film that we just were droning, trying to find refs, and we couldn't get them. Do you know what I mean?
No. Nope. So just we had to go to the evergreen of ska.
Ska, yeah, ska. So just fucking write in with any old fucking shit. We'll fucking talk about it. We will say your name. We have hundreds, if not thousands, of listeners, depending on the episode.
Yeah.
So just fucking, you know, have your moment in the sun. Have your 15 minutes of fame. What's that artist? The one who did the soup cans? Andy Warhol. Yeah. Didn't he say...
Everyone gets 15 minutes.
Everyone gets 15 minutes of Matthew and Justin talking about them on the Loose Cannons podcast. And to me, Andy Warhol, that's true fame.
Wow, you're Andy Warhol?
No, that's the quote.
Oh. He goes, to me, Andy Warhol, this is true fame.
Yeah, the whole quote. If you go to like a museum, you'll see it. You know, because I will have pinned it up on the wall.
So you're like a gorilla kind of art modifier, which is true art in itself.
Yes.
Well, like you go to a lot
I dress
of...
up as a gorilla and I do that.
So you're like the art gorilla?
I'm the art gorilla.
Oh man, if someone was an art gorilla, famous.
Yeah.
Like if he had a full gorilla costume and he put the mask on and all he did was modify things in museums.
Yeah.
But not to destroy them, because, you know, you don't want to shake the system. You just want to do this stuff.
You just, like, rub monkey poo on them or something.
Oh, my God. That is destroying it, like, if you rub monkey poo on art.
Well, because it's in theme, right? Because you're a gorilla. Do you know what I mean?
Take a big gorillas shit don't on just a shit. Gorillas do lots of stuff. They murder people, like, in the Murders at the Rue Morgue. Sorry, spoilers, guys, for Edgar Allan Poe story.
I was going to say they rip people's arms off, but...
Oh, you're thinking of that Onion article?
I was actually thinking of The Happening, and it's just a lion or something rips the guy's arm off, right?
And then the woman goes, do you think it's terrorists?
Yeah, terrorist lions.
That would be the scariest terrorists of all.
Yeah, you never seen, like, a bunch of, like Al-Qaeda guys at the zoo pure, you try to yell stuff at the lions to get them on side?
I was going to make a joke about, like, gorillas. They're like, oh no, it's some terrible gorillas. And, you know.
I'm sure the Al-Qaeda guys yell at the gorillas as well.
Okay. But you know the term for, like, commandos, gorillas?
Yes.
Can you imagine there was a movie just called Gorillas, spelt like that, but it's just a bunch of gorillas with machine guns and hats?
Well, I'm looking forward to Dwayne Johnson's upcoming Rampage, which doesn't look like it has any good stuff like that in it.
No. Why won't they just give animals machine guns? Is it so hard? I mean, I guess Congo tried to do that, right? A movie I don't remember very much. One of the gorillas had like a laser thing, I guess, like the albino gorilla.
Yeah, and one of them talks, right?
Yeah. I mean, if they can talk, they can hold a gun.
Yep.
All right. So if anybody has millions of dollars, I will make a gorilla action movie. But just as a warning... No CGI, it's going to be gorilla suits the entire way through.
So it's like, so what's your business plan? Well, I'm going to buy a bunch of machine guns and just give them to gorillas.
And make them reenact the Civil War. Yeah, it's not really, you know, a fiction film. It's more of a documentary about what would happen if I set all these parameters in place and then let it just go.
Sounds like a good Nathan for You episode.
Giving them machine guns?
Yeah, giving machine guns to monkeys. I don't know, to make a burger joint do better. Okay, but once again, just write us fucking letters.
Yeah, okay.
loosecannonspodcast@gmail.com.
Please, don't make
And if you already wrote us a letter and we didn't read it out, it's just because it went missing or something, or you typed in the name wrong. So let's just get it super clear.
Loosecannonspodcast. There's a third reason we probably didn't read their letter as well. If it's just one line that you wrote probably while listening to the episode... Come on, guys. Try harder than that.
Try harder. Yeah. Just try at all.
Yes.
And you can write us reviews and give us ratings on iTunes, obviously, as well.
Please, please. All right. So we did a Hong Kong movie marathon last week. We talked about that. And I made a joke afterwards that, listen, we're probably going to go watch another Hong Kong movie. Boom. We did. And we ended up watching The Cat, a movie that's, people know. It's not a classic by any means. This was an anomaly because... it's a Hong Kong practical effects film. Something they don't really do. Creatures are not usual their forte. That's more something of like Japan, really.
Reason for that is the director is the same director as The Story of Rookie.
Mm-hmm.
Which if you haven't seen, I'm surprised. You listen to this podcast and you see The Story of Rookie. What are you doing with your time?
Yeah, just turn this podcast off.
The decisions
give us 5 stars on iTunes and go watch Story of Rookie.
Write us a letter afterwards about how much you like Story of Rookie because we want letters.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing about Story of Rookie, if you haven't seen it, is that it's insanely violent and has all this crazy practical effect violence, basically, that's really fun.
Mm-hmm.
And the cat is a much more sober film in a lot of ways.
Yeah, it's an adaptation of a long-running serial in Hong Kong of the Wisely Adventurers. And that's like a guy who's a bit of an academic, a bit of an Indiana Jones. I mean, anything that I've got out of his characters are from the 4 movies where he appears. The Cat, The Seventh Curse, Legend of Wisely, and Bury Me High. So The Cat takes the director's kind of love of these practical effects and just slathers them all over the screen. You like the 80s blob? Psh, all over this film. Do you like The Hidden? Yep, that's here too. And it's all really gory.
And it's an interesting film because it's a film I want to recommend for people who like cats. Also, I kind of can't. Because, obviously, Hong Kong in the 90s, there's not going to be that many rules about how you treat animals. So you can't really be sure how well treat these cats have been treated.
Are you a fan of Milo and Otis? If you are, you can watch this movie no problem, because they killed thousands of animals on that movie.
Because sometimes in this movie, you wonder if it was necessary. Like, there's a part where it looks like the cat definitely has, a real cat has definitely had his tail trapped in like a car door or something.
Yeah.
And it's really reacting badly to it. And there's another part where a cat has been detailed, but you can't really, I can really tell if anybody just like taped the tail down or something like that, or if they just literally detailed a cat, because I was watching it.
Sorry, you keep saying detailed the cat, and I imagine being like, we gave it cool flames.
like they took it to a car workshop and they
gave it awesome rims and shit like that.
So yes, I mean detailed, not detailed.
You just said the same word twice, Matthew.
I put a stress in a different position.
I recently saw an article where someone tried to dye their dog, and the dog was burned horribly. So don't do that shit to your animals, please.
Yeah.
But get them spayed and neutered.
Yeah, thanks, Bob Barker.
No problem. Rest in peace.
No, Bob Barker's in here.
What? I don't even think he's dead, is he?
Yeah, Bob Barker's definitely dead, is he?
I don't know. This is the episode where we don't know if people die, so we have to look up
it. Next week, we get a letter from Bob Barker. It's like, actually, Matthew was correct. I am alive, but I'm in a living hell.
He is still alive. He's 94 years old.
Yeah, so he's in a living hell, probably.
Yeah. How old do you want to live, Matthew, before you're like, Justin, put me out of my misery?
Oh, I want to live forever. I want to
really
be immortal.
So, like, if you're, like, 102, and you're, like, a shriveled 2 feet ball of like a guilty fetus on your bed, like you can't talk, anything like that, and I come in, age differences, I'm about probably 51 at this point, and you're like, kill me, or something like that.
First of all, I'm not that much older than you. Second of all, I will obviously be drinking the blood of virgins or whatever, and that'll keep me young. So
yeah. Would you put your consciousness in a robot body?
It depends how big's that robot's penis.
Giant. But they tell you this is a copy of yourself, not a transference of your memories.
Well, am I gonna die anyway?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, they can copy me. I mean,
I would just be like, fuck that, just let me die. I don't care, I'm gone. That person is not me, it's someone else. It's a real
know.
6 day kind
your
of situation.
Your soul might move.
Your soul, that's not how it works. If they're like, we can make a copy of you and put it in this robot, it's like, Matthew, your soul doesn't exist. I hate to break it to you.
Well, can I have the robot now?
Like, it's just a copy of you?
Yeah, I get a copy of
you. Oh yeah, it will kill you instantly. There's no way that you make a copy. It's like, it's going to be my best friend. It will slit your throat.
But it would be me.
It would be you.
So I would have, if I got put in a robot,
you right. would kill the human virgin trying to
no,
replace
no, no,
him.
No, wait.
And then, like, we'd all be fooled, like a big giant robot.
Oh, wait,
virgin.
So it's not like, yeah, is it like a big I thought you meant like a robot, not a robot copy. I don't want a robot copy. I meant like a robot me that's like fucking
oh,
like,
no, see,
a huge muscular
yeah,
punch bot.
Yeah,
know?
That's what I was imagining, was like a Rock'em Sock'em sized robot. He just puts your glasses on and puts a Japanese t-shirt stretched over all the metal. We're like, hey, Matthew, you're looking good. That exercise regime is really working out for you. But you know what will tip us off? the massive dick. We're like, wait a minute, that's not Matthew. What are you talking about, friends?
We also really tell, because when I come to record the podcast, I don't transform into the bulldog anymore.
That's right. Oh no, the robot has those capabilities.
I have to transform into a robot bulldog?
Yeah.
It's okay.
Like, woof, woof.
So the cat, bad animal cruelty probably, right?
Yeah.
Which made it probably not okay to watch.
Listen, the film has been finished.
Yeah.
And
the guy's not making any money from it.
No, he's not making any money. A cat fights a dog for 5 minutes.
And it's like an amazing puppet cat.
Yeah.
It's not like they make a real cat fight a real dog.
Yeah.
They make like a puppet cat fight a puppet dog.
And sometimes they transform into stop motion.
Yeah. And the thing is that it has the most breathtaking suplex. A cat literally suplexes a big dog. Like, and you see it in slow motion, it happens. He suplexes it. It's one of the great, like, you know when you see The Rock? Like, I love when you see a wrestling move in an actual movie,
mm-hmm.
because it just makes it feel like more
the,
like...
The Blade 2, lift the guy up and then drop him down.
Yeah, suplex him, right? So, like, a suplex, when it happens in a movie, it's like 10 out of 10. And I would say this has been one of the great suplexes I've ever seen as a cat.
I mean, how can you top a cat suplexing a dog?
Yeah, you can.
This is a sequence that the film replays in its entirety.
Yeah.
After the end credits finish, because it knows that people want to see it again.
Yeah, I mean, the film never gets that good again, but, you know.
I mean, it ends with a giant monster that a cat flies into its mouth and then explodes to kill.
You know what, that is good too. But I think the cat suplex is the best part. It's a good movie and you should watch it.
The cat suplex is definitely the best part. So next week, Matthew, we're back on track. Psych! No, it's another movie that we don't really want to watch. It's called The Ambassador. And this one is directed by mainstay J. Lee Thompson, the man who directed that Charles Bronson fights a naked serial killer movie. What was it called again?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
We've watched so many movies.
We've watched so many shitty movies.
I look over the episodes that we've done and I go, what? We talked about that? I don't even know what that's about anymore. Yep, so the film, like I said, is called...
The Ambassador.
Yep.
Yep, it has Robert Mitchum in it. It has Rock Hudson in it. It was the last film from Rock Hudson before his death. So it's going to be a laugh a minute. Too soon to make jokes about Rock Hudson? Probably.
You think so?
Yeah.
Didn't he die like 25 years ago?
Yeah.
He didn't die in a funny way, though.
He didn't die in a funny way. That's why...
I mean, to my knowledge.
Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, if you die in a funny way, it's immediately funny.
Yeah.
In a not funny way, probably takes longer for it to be...
Yeah, I mean, like, if you transfer your consciousness into a robot and then it fell over and crushed you, that's a pretty funny way.
Yeah, the thing is, robot would still be alive and would commit a kill streak stop people laughing at my death. Because it would also be me.
My name is Eldon DeClue.
I was Matthew Kumar.
Thanks for listening.